जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवरदायिनी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुन चिराभनचारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिधर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुन चिराभनचारी यमुन चिराभनचारी जय रामदाव कुञ्ज विहारी जय रामदाव कुञ्ज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी परमहंस परिव्राज कचर्य शुतुर शुत श्री श्रीमारिजवांग श्री भगवानंत स्वामी प्रभु पार की राज ग्रंथ श्रीम भगवतम की संवित भक्त वृंद की इताय गो श्रीमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू दिस मनोवरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू दिस मनोवरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु अंगो रंगा ओ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय ओ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय ओ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय मन एव मनुष्यस्य पूर्वरूपाणि संशंसति भविष्यतश्च भद्रं ते तथैव न भविष्यतः मन एव मनुष्यस्य पूर्वरूपाणि शंसति भविष्यतश्च भद्रं ते तथैव न भविष्यतः past, present, and future lives. Mothers. Manaha, the mind. Eva, certainly. Manushyasya, of a man. Purva, past. Rupani, forms. Shamsati, indicates. Bhavishyata, of one who will take birth. Cha, also, Bhadram, good fortune. Te, unto you. Tata, thus. Eva, certainly. Na, not. Bhavishyata, of one who will take birth. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, O King, all good fortune unto you. The mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with his association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life, as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. Thus, the mind indicates the past and future bodies. Purport. The mind is the index of information about one's past and future lives. If a man is a devotee of the Lord, he cultivated devotional service in his previous life. Similarly, if one's mind is criminal, he was criminal in his past life. In the same way, according to the mind, we can understand what will happen in a future life. In the Bhagavad Gita 14:18, it is said, Udvam gacchanti sattva sta madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya gunavritti sta adho gacchanti tamasaha. Quote, those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish planets. End quote. If a person is in the mode of goodness, his mental activities will promote him to a higher planetary system. Similarly, if he has a low mentality, his future life will be most abominable. The lives of the living entity, and both the past and future, are indicated by the mental condition. Narada Muni is herein offering the king blessings of all good fortune, so that the king will not desire anything or make plans for sense gratification. The king was engaged in fruitive ritualistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. Narada Muni desired him to give up all mental concoctions. As explained before, all bodies and heavenly planets and hellish planets arise from mental concoctions, and the sufferings and enjoyments of material life are simply on the mental platform. They take place on the chariot of the mind, Manovrata. It is therefore said, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana sarvai gunais tatrasamasate suraha rava bhaktasya kutomaha guna manorite nasati dhavato bhi. Quote, one who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods, but one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. End quote, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord or becomes fully Krishna conscious, he will certainly hover on the mental platform and be promoted and degraded in different types of bodies. All qualities that are considered good according to the material estimation actually have no value, because the so-called good qualities will not save a person from the cycle of birth and death. The conclusion is that one should be without mental desire. Anyabilashita shunyam gyana karma dina vitam. One should be fully free from material desires, philosophical speculation, and fruitive activity. The best course for a human being is to favorably accept the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyanta minandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya revacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Please bless me that I can say something. I found out 3 minutes before a class that I had to give it. So, and it's a long purport, and I, you know, I need like some time to meditate usually. The first thing that resonated with me the most, I would say, is the word Bajramte. Narada Muni saying, O King, all good fortune unto you, Bajramte. And Srila Prabhupada describes here that Narada Muni is herein offering the king blessings of all good fortune so that the king will not desire anything or make plans for sense gratification. The king was engaged in fruitive ritualistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. Narada Muni desired him to give up all mental concoctions. Bajram, this is a purport of Bajramte. All good fortune unto you. He's giving the king blessings. Many people come to sadhus for blessings. And this is what it means to be blessed by a sadhu, that he shall bless us to give up all mental concoction that sees somewhere in the future that there's going to be some happiness in this material world. One time, Srila Prabhupada, we were hearing this recently, was asked, posed a question to some person that was explaining how we want to make, we're doing this and doing this, and Srila Prabhupada asked, why are you doing this and doing that? He said, we want to make the world a better place. And Prabhupada said, why are you trying to make the world a better place? Krishna has told in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayama Shashvatam, this world is a house of misery and it's temporary. Krishna is told, like, that is the nature of this world, so why are you trying to make it a better place? That's like trying to say, we're trying to make fire not burn. That doesn't make any sense, because the nature of fire is to burn. So in the same way you say, we're trying to make the world free from material miseries, you can't, because that's the nature of the material world. It cannot give up that nature, because that's the way Krishna made it. So Srila Prabhupada asks, why are you trying to make the world a better place? So the whole idea that I'm going to be happy in any sphere in this material world, a brahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mamupetitukonteya punarjamanavittite. Krishna's told this thing. And from the topmost planet down to the lowest, all of them are places of misery. Why? Because repeated birth and death take place. It is very hard to appreciate this point in our youthfulness because of the power of the senses. Usually blocks our ability to appreciate this. But every now and then when you get a close-up look at death, then you may gain a greater appreciation for these particular points. As you all be knowing, this is a tangential point, but one of our devotees, I mean, he's a devotee, he was struggling a lot in the material world. And anyway, we went to visit him yesterday, and you know, it was very difficult even to see his face. His face was bigger than his whole body, you know. He was beat so badly, practically speaking. And, you know, it was, when we, myself and Nityananda Prabhu went into the room to put in the Shingo oil, Ganga water, and say a prayer. And being so close to death, I was feeling lightheaded in the room. Of course, hospitals also are very tough for me, generally speaking. But then seeing that, when you see it on movies and so on, it seems kind of cool. You know, someone's getting hurt. We become desensitized. When you see it in real life, you know, I had to sit down. I was getting lightheaded. Nityananda Prabhu got a headache when we were driving back to the temple. We were listening to a Prabhupada lecture, and he fell asleep, and he said, I need to recover. He kind of joked like that. So it's kind of hard to appreciate this point in our youthfulness, especially that the gravity of being in the world of birth and death. You know, we hear many times, if you don't take the human form of life seriously, then you have to take birth in the world of, in the world of birth and death. It doesn't usually impact the living entity. So it's every now and then when we see these things, it can, increases the gravity a little bit of that point. So Narada Muni is expressing, giving him a blessing, that you stop speculating that you're going to be happy in any sphere in this material world. Bhajramte, this is my blessing to you. May there be good fortune means to give up mental concoction. That is what it means to be a fortunate soul. Bhagyavan jiva, to be a fortunate jiva means one gives up mental concoction that says, I'm going to be happy outside of my relationship with Krishna. I mean, it's difficult, even as devotees in the temple, we become desensitized in some ways to the miseries of the material world, just how miserable the material world is. Because we're always in the association of devotees. You know, prasadam is nice, association is nice, things are nice, and we're serving Krishna. And then the little bitty difficulties that we meet in the temple will become like so overwhelming for the mind. Oh my God, what's wrong, Prabhu? I had to wash extra pots today. Seriously? And, you know, and one's like devastated, and, you know, I have way too much service. And you walk up to your room, you're like storming. I was like, I don't know if I can take this anymore. And then one wants to go back to Maya. And all because, why? Because there was one extra pot was there, was a little big, you know. And the mind just starts freaking out. The mind freaks out, you know. I timed it by 7:30, I was going to be finished with the pots. And right when I was about to finish, the devotee brought in a big pot, and it had pots inside of it. And I had to wash pots until 8:15. I'm like totally wiped. I'm fried. Seriously? You're fried. And because we become desensitized to how miserable the material world sometimes is in a good association. And then so we think, I'll go back. So this is what it means to be a fortunate jiva. Stop speculating. There is nothing outside service to Krishna. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in one of his Atmanivedana songs that the happiness and distress I incur in service to Krishna, that is my sampradana, that is my supreme wealth. And he's praying to the Lord, please don't take away my wealth. Just like if you have great wealth, you don't want anyone to take your wealth away from you. So he's saying, my service to Krishna, the happiness and distress that I shall experience in my service to Krishna, that is my supreme wealth. So he's praying to the Lord, please don't take away my supreme wealth. Whereas in the conditioned state, we don't mind. You can have it back, Krishna, and just make it a little bit easier. This is due to the mental speculation. So this is what it means to be a well-wisher of another jiva, to help them to give up material desire, to give up mental concoction, which is the foundation for material desire. Not that we should encourage persons to pursue the material world. Just like, for example, I'm a personal example. This is not meant to be a criticism of my mother or such, but just as when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, she was not very favorable in the beginning, initially, she was not so favorable for my Christian conscious lifestyle. So she would often call me and say, how come you don't visit? You need to spend more time at home. You know, this Christian conscious movement was not very good because they're teaching this family detachment and all these things. So I asked her, you know, when I was in New York pursuing what I love to do, material sense gratification, you know, in the form of dancing at that time, there was no problem at all. I hardly called to see. I called when I needed money. And then otherwise I didn't call, and I was far away, long distance, you know, didn't keep. And it was all encouragement, just as long as you're doing what you love to do and pursue it. And then as soon as it came to pursuing Krishna, why don't you spend time with us anymore? Why don't you? When I was doing material sense, it was like, it was okay. Well, because there was something in it for me also. But now that, you know, I'm not just an object of your sense pleasure, but I'm trying to offer my services to Krishna, all of a sudden becomes a huge problem. That means these are not, this is not meant to be a criticism of my mother. I'm just making a general point. I'm using that as an example. That this is not genuine well-wisher. It's not a genuine well-wisher. Because genuine well-wisher means they say, we want to see that you are happy. Then you are doing something that you are saying that makes you happy. And then they're not happy about that. No, you should not do. They make so many. This means they're not Bajram. They're not giving us blessings. Rather, if we shall be speculating, oh, I'll go to, like, for example, sorry, I always, this is the first example that comes to my mind, don't mind. If I shall go to the university, how to get a good degree, how to get a good job, how to make money, how to get a wife and kids and all these things, then it's all encouragement. Bajramte, all good fortune unto you. As soon as it comes to the pursuit of Krishna, a bajramte, I don't know if that's, I don't know, the opposite of that, you know, no good fortune to you. Huh? A bajram, this is all a bajram, an anartha. You want to surrender your life to Krishna, it becomes like an apparat or something, you know, family apparat, anartha. So why does this happen? Because it is described in the Bhagavatam, Ishara Petasha Viparayo Ashmiti. When the soul has turned his face away from Krishna, then he gets a reverse conception of life. Viparayo Ashmiti. Viparayo means a reverse conception of life. So that which is a source of misery gets reversed. He thinks it's a source of happiness. So when we want to surrender to Krishna, because the jiva is in a reverse conception of life, he thinks that is an anartha. And when we are pursuing material sense gratification, they bajramte, all good fortune unto you. So this means not genuine well-wisher. Only a devotee can be a genuine well-wisher. And when we say devotee, we mean devotee on the inside and devotee on the outside. Both. Not just devotee on the outside, but devotee on the inside. One who is devotee on the inside and devotee on the outside, they will be genuine well-wisher. They will say bajramte when one is trying to pursue Krishna with all their life's energy. Pranaya, arthaya, diyavacha. When one is giving their life, their wealth, their intelligence and words to the pursuit of Krishna, then one who is a devotee on the inside and outside will say, bajramte, all good fortune unto you. And those who shall not be so well-wishing in that way, then we may question their well-wishing. Sometimes it may be presented in the form of great concern about what we're doing with our life. That's okay. But if we are feeling confident because we also have proper guidance and support in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness, and they should be adamant about our not pursuing Krishna, then we question their well-wishing for us. So this is the point that most prominently stuck out for me, bajramte. So he was desiring King Parchita Marisha to stop speculating. This is the cause of the jivas accepting material bodies. Why? This is in combination with what we heard yesterday. Because mental concoction is the platform for material desire. Desires of how I'm going to enjoy in the world are founded on the platform of mental speculation. So desires are the cause of the material body. That's what we were hearing yesterday. Desires are the cause of the material body, and the mind is the storehouse of material desires. That's what we heard yesterday, and Prabhupada was explaining this in the purport. Desire is the cause of accepting material bodies, and the mind is a storehouse of all types of material desires. Therefore, you can say the mind is the cause of material bodies in that sense. And because being a storehouse of desires, in the subtle body, all the desires are there. It needs a proper body to give expression to the desires. So sometimes we may not be, many times we experience that we're not aware of how many desires we actually have. Before we were devotees, in fact, we might have think we were desireless. Oh, maybe one or two desires were there. And then as soon as we started this japa process, then all of a sudden we became aware of our mind. Oh, so many desires are there for material enjoyment. So therefore the mind has to be purified of these material desires. Otherwise, it is the cause of our accepting material body after material body after material body. I was thinking of the example of the Kumaras. The Kumaras, by their mystic power, kept themselves as five-year-old boys because they knew that if they shall get older body, then immediately that sex desire starts coming out. Just like you see these little boys, they're not innocent. No one, we were hearing that point from Maharaj the other day also. They're not, even though they look cute, some of them don't even look that innocent, but some of them do look really innocent. But you can see sometimes the way they're dealing with the ladies, and sorry for the expression, we can say the Matajis, but not just our devotee kids, but kids in general, if you shall observe them. You can see it's not innocent. And as soon as the body shall become to a certain maturity, then immediately all these desires start flooding out. So a gross material body is required to give expression to a certain desire. So a desire may remain dormant until there's a proper material body to give expression to that desire. So therefore, we don't know what's going on internally. We can hardly know what's going on internally. So this is why the mind is a very dangerous entity for the soul. On account of the mind, the jiva is remaining in the material world. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma, ya indriya pritaya prinoti, nasa dumanye, yata apmano yam, asana piklesha dasadeha. Rishabhdev says the same thing, that there's desires for sense gratification in the mind. I don't think this is very good. Why? Because you have to accept material bodies one after another. Kleshada asadeha. He refers to the body as kleshada. Kleshada means the giver of kleshas. Like Narada, Narada means the giver of Narayana. Da, like the dati pratirinati. Da means like to give, dan. So kleshada means the giver of kleshas, miseries. So we're hearing here, and this is an important point about the klesha, because the mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with its association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. Prabhupada says if we have a devotional mentality in this life, that means we were devoted in our last life. And if we have criminal mentality this life, it meant we were criminal in the last life. This is on account of this klesha point. One of the six characteristics of pure devotional service is kleshagni, which means it frees one from klesha. And Rupa Goswami explains how klesha has three divisions. The first division is called papam, sinful activity. So the living entity in the material world is performing all types of sinful activities, pious or impious, but all are sinful because they're not in relationship to Krishna. So those sinful activities have two divisions to them. When the effect of sinful activity has, not two divisions, the effect of sinful activity is called as aparabdha karma. That means reaction that is going to manifest sometime in the future. And from the aparabdha karma, it has two things that happen from the aparabdha karma. One thing is that some of it starts manifesting, and that's in the form of physical and psychological misery. So any physical and psychological misery we're experiencing now is a manifestation of the aparabdha karma. When it manifests, it is called as parabdha karma. So that's a problem. Because once sinful reactions manifest, they're harder to counteract. Before they're manifest, they're more easier to counteract by the process of devotional service. But after they're manifest, they're more challenging to counteract. Just like now, we have our parabdha karma, right? We have our bodies, we have our psychologies that we brought to the Krishna conscious movement. And now through the process of devotional service, we're trying to counteract that. It's more challenging, isn't it? But the aparabdha karma, when it's not manifested, pure devotional service is compared to a fire that can easily burn up the aparabdha karma. But the parabdha karma, once it's manifested, is more challenging to eradicate. So that's a problem, no doubt. But there's another problem, another thing that manifests from this aparabdha karma. It is called as kuta. Kuta means a sinful proclivity. In other words, it's a type of psychology that manifests along. And the example that is given is just like when you steal. First time you do it, it's like really scary. You know, it's like you're like really freaking like an animal, you know, always like a bird who's always looking behind them to see if the human being's going to cut his head or something when giving food. But then after you do it the first time, the adrenaline rush that comes from that, I mean, that's not recommended. Don't go for an adrenaline rush, but you going still, you didn't get caught, and it was like kind of cool. This is when you have a sinful mentality. It's already a little Kali Yuga mentality, you know. It was kind of cool. So then you go for a second, and the second time is not so difficult to steal. Why? Because this is a reaction to sinful activity. The reaction is that now you've developed a proclivity for that, a psychology for stealing. So you get second time is a little easier, third time, no problem, and then you become, what do we call it, kleptomaniac. Kleptomaniac means one who's got a problem with stealing. So why does that happen? Because every time a sinful activity is performed, it nourishes a certain type of proclivity, psychology in the jiva. So that's what's being discussed here in this verse by Narada Muni. You can make out, if you know the science of this material nature, Sambandha again, you can make out what his mentality was in the previous life. Why? Because he's nourishing a certain type of proclivity, and it's just again manifesting repeatedly. And then by his proclivity now, what you're seeing now, the mentality that he's giving expression to in this body, you can make out what type of situation he's going to get in the future, no doubt. That's if you know the science. If you don't know the science, everything's bewildered. But if you know Sambandha again, you hear Bhagavad Gita, you understand the science of devotional service, you can make out what's going on. So as devotees who come to the Krishna Conscious Movement, we've also nourished many sinful proclivities, at least many of us before coming to the Krishna Conscious Movement. And we can see how, you know, it's there. You know, and the tendency is cropping up sometimes, and you're struggling to not give expression to that proclivity. This is the practice of a devotee. Tamta tiksha sabharata. This is a recommendation. Pure devotional service can also eradicate the corrupt karma. Even though it is more difficult because now it's manifest, it can also purify us of the contaminations of the bad qualities that have manifested already with the birth of this body and mind in this particular life. But one has to practice this principle of tolerance, tamta tiksha sabharata. The proclivity is there, but we should not give expression to it. It is there. Just like, for example, I would venture to say many devotees have many lusty desires. Not just for the opposite sex, but just like eating and getting more and more dhotis. I see our brahmacharis, they have their wardrobe. Sometimes you open the dryer? Seriously. The clothes, atyahara, so much atyahara. And then every time I'll see a devotee coming downstairs with a new sweatshirt, I'm like, what's wrong with that sweatshirt? That was brown, I wanted a gray one. You wanted a gray one. Chastised. So we have so many lusty desires, many lusty desires. Of course, the acme of them is certainly the desire for the opposite sex, because we can't do that thing in the Krishna Conscious Movement, at least legally, or in good standing. So then we give expression to that lusty desire in many other ways. So many clothes, so much of eating, so many, lectures from like 20 different personalities and then getting confused. And then coming to me all throughout the day, I was confused about this one said this, but this one said that, and then that one said that, and they were all contradicting. Here's Srila Prabhupada. And first get unbewildered, because now you're bewildering me. You're so bewildered. I'm becoming bewildered by your association. I'm supposed to make you unbewildered, but I'm getting bewildered. So you're going here, Prabhupada, and don't bewilder my mind. This is going on. So we have to tolerate that sinful proclivity in the form of so many lusty desires and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And hear the Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively. With reflection, meditation upon the message of the Bhagavatam means after one hears, one should meditate upon those things so that the mind can start to become purified of material desire, which is based on mental concoction. Mental concoction is due to ignorance. You know, underneath, so the foundation for, this is desire, the foundation for material desire is mental concoction. And the foundation for mental concoction is ignorance. Or you can say false ego. And then the foundation for false ego is ignorance. If you can picture it like that. Desire, mental concoction, false ego. Because you need a false ego to concoct You need a conception of yourself that you're working with, and then mental concoctions based on that conception. And then, why do you have a false ego? Because I'm ignorant of who I really am. So without getting knowledge, this mental concoction will remain. So one needs to gain transcendental knowledge from the right authority. Those who are Bajram Tay, those who are well-wishers, we need to gain proper knowledge from them. That is knowledge of pure devotion to Krishna. And that is knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that knowledge will help us become Anyabhilashita Shunyam Ganakarma Dinavritam. This is being mentioned here. That unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord, becomes fully Krishna conscious, he will certainly hover on the mental platform and be promoted and degraded in different types of bodies. Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinshana Sarvai Gunais Tatu Samasate Sura. Prabhupada is quoting that verse. Unless one becomes a Kinshana Bhagavata. Bhagavatiya Kinshana means pure devotee of Krishna, one who is a Kinshana, one who has no other. A Kinshana means one who is without material possession. That's what the word Kinshana literally means. And it means one who possesses, let's say, his relationship with Krishna. That is a statement of Kunti Maharani. I mentioned this statement many times in my discussion. Jai Mai Shraya Shruta Shribir. Edamana Mandapumat Nai Eva Arati Abhidatumai Twam Akinshana Gocharam. Kunti says, you are the property of those who are not trying to get property in the material world, trying to get a new house, a new car, a new wife, a new religion, a new guru. For those who have stopped this business of trying to acquire property in this material world, then you are the property of those persons, Akinshana. Akinshana devotees. So only an Akinshana devotee has given up speculation. That's how he's able to get the Lord. Actually, everyone can get the Lord. It is not a difficult thing. The reason we are not able to get generally is because of mental concoction. This is described by Prabhupada also in the 8th chapter of the first canto in the Kunti's prayers, where he describes how the Lord is like the sun, or maybe he says rain, showering mercy on everyone. So how can we see that mercy is differently manifested if he's giving mercy to everyone? So Prabhupada describes, using the verse from Bhagavad Gita, that some people approach Krishna for money. So Krishna's like, I'll give myself. No, I'll take the money. So Krishna gives the money, and then they go away. And then someone wants to satisfy their curiosity. Krishna said, I'll give myself. That's okay, I just have a few questions for you. And then Krishna gives the answer. He said, okay, Hare Krishna, thank you. I'll go back to Maya now. And then what is the other one? Distress. Someone comes to Krishna for material distress. I'll give myself. No, can you just take away my problem? Oh, I'll think about taking you also, but first my problem is there. Krishna removes a problem, and then they get removed also. So then Prabhupada mentions that the pure devotee, he is not wanting anything from Krishna. So when Krishna says, I give myself, the devotee takes that. So everyone can actually have Krishna. But because we are not a Kinshana, we are speculating that there is something better than Krishna in the material world. There is something better than chanting. There is something better than hearing Bhagavatam, like going to university. It is much better than reading Bhagavatam. So many, when we went to the festival, Gokulananda Prabhu's festival, to the Sharmas, our good friends, they were having a big headache, you know, because one of them had to read like this huge biology book because they were preparing for school, you know. So the whole program, he was just like, so I was like, either he's like getting really deep into Bhagavatam, yeah, right. So then I asked him, I said, Prabhu, what are you reading? And then he lifted up this huge, gigantic slab of stone and it said, biology, you know. And I said, oh, now I understand why you look like that. And we started laughing, you know. Some of the other men also, they were telling me, that we were doing some Isha Panishad discussion together. And I had the questionnaires that we had been used, like, from our Bhakti Shastri. So, and they were working on it nicely and doing it, sending, having so many questions. Suddenly, inquiry spirit stopped. So I was like, what happened? And they, AP Euro, Advanced Placement European History. I was like, I also took that class in high school. I said, the only thing you learn in that class is how someone, because of sense gratification, was exploiting someone else, and there was a revolution. Next chapter. Someone was exploiting someone else for sense gratification, there was a revolution. Next chapter. Someone was exploiting someone. That's all you learn in AP Euro or AP History, U.S. History, anything. That is what the history is. Someone was exploiting someone else for sense gratification, there was a revolution. Next chapter. And then we were laughing about it, but one has to get into those things, you know. Of course, you know, one must do their duty as such. That's another whole discussion. I want to be careful because I heard some something that I want to nourish a misconception of certain devotees. Anyway, everyone knows my mentality. I'm being a little bit playful. I'm not suggesting that one should not go to school. I'm not suggesting that one should not go to school. I repeat, I am not suggesting one should not go to school. It's a disclaimer. Because there was a message that came like that from our Brahmacharya retreat. Someone told like that to their parents. They were very upset. So I want to make it clear, we are not stressing the point that one should not go to school. That's not my point. My point is another point. My point is that unless we are a kinshana, then we are speculating. And that speculation keeps us from having Krishna. Krishna is ready to give himself. But because of mental speculation, we're turning our face towards the material energy. So unless we become a kinshana, we are on the manorata, the chariot of the mind, which is saying, oh, this is very nice. Oh, that wasn't so good. Oh, this is very nice. Oh, that wasn't... This is, we're on the manorata, we cannot have any good qualities. That's what the verse says. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna, they cannot have any good qualities because they're hovering on the mental plane. Which means that even if they're showing something like a good quality, they'll give it up for pursuing their mental concoction. Because mental concoction is very powerful. Once you get convinced about something that's very nice, you can easily give up something that is good and favorable for that something that you feel is very nice. So therefore they have no good qualities because they're on the mental platform. So even if there appears to be some semblance of good, if they shall get convinced about something else that they're concocting is better, they'll immediately drop this thing, whether it be Krishna consciousness or whether it be their good behavior, etc. Just like it is seen, like in the case of Ajamil, a brahmana but not transcendental. So when he saw the prostitute and the shudra making out, and he concocted that seems very nice, he gave up his good behavior. He gave up his good quality as a brahmana and pursued that. So one cannot really have any good qualities unless it comes to the transcendental platform. And in fact, that's what Prabhupada said in yesterday's purport also. There's a necessity to transcend the modes of material nature. So there, this point is also recalled here in this verse also, that when the mind is associating with different modes of nature, that's what he's going to pursue. If his mind is in goodness, he can go upward. And if his mind is in a low association, it goes down. So there's a need to come to the transcendental platform. Anya bilashita shunyam gyanam karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. That's how Prabhupada concludes the purport. It's a need for pure devotional service. And how does one come in the pure devotional service platform? Shravanadeshuddha chitta karaya udoy. It begins with proper hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That proper hearing of the Bhagavatam nourishes this anyabhilashita shunyam aspect of pure devotion. How do you make material desires? We have so many material desires. Remember, material desires are based on mental concoction, which is founded on false ego, which is founded on ignorance or lack of knowledge. So when you hear the Bhagavatam, it gives you knowledge of what is this material world, what is the jiva, what is the Supreme Lord. So the one more nourishes that knowledge, the more he will become free from material desire. Because material, it's just on account of ignorance that I'm pursuing that. So by hearing carefully the Anya Bilashita Shunyam Gyanam Karma Dhyanavritam, which is the secondary quality of pure devotion, is nourished. And then, of course, the primary thing also becomes nourished, the attraction to Krishna. And one goes to Krishna. This is the only way. So the Bhagavad Dharma, consisting of primarily hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, is the only solution for the material entanglement. as heavy as it is, it seems like that is too simple. You know, someone comes to you with a math problem. Suppose it's like the math problem is a whole page. It looks like very complicated. And then you look at it and then give an answer, you know. One may be dissatisfied. You didn't even like deeply analyze all the details of the complicated formula and make sure you just gave the answer. Because if the person is an adept at mathematics, he can do that. He can understand the formulas and he just gives an answer very quickly. If it was me, I'll be looking for, you know, time eternal because I'm very poor at math. Even arithmetic is quite a challenge for me. So I'll just be looking, is this Sanskrit? No, this is a math problem, Prabhu. Oh, okay. I would not be able to understand. But if someone is an adept at math, he sees the problem. So similarly, the devotees, they are daksha. They are expert. They are adepts. how to come out of this material energy. So we come to them with these huge mathematical equations, which we call our complicated life. And they say, Bhagavad Dharma, Shravanam Kirtana, and we become, you didn't even analyze all the details of my life. There's a reason for that. I need to remain unbewildered. I don't want to hear all the details of your life. Just like someone says, I have a lesser desire, save it. We understand the principle. We don't need to go into the details of that because I might become bewildered, you know. I saw a devotee is, of course, beyond bewilderment, but he doesn't waste his time with such frivolity also. He gives a medicine, Bhagavad Dharma, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And we become, well, I thought I was going to hear something more practical, like go to university, get a job, get a wife, and that seems like more practical. No, Bhagavad Dharma. First you get fixed in hearing chanting and remembering Krishna. Then we'll talk about the so-called practical aspects. But first you get fixed in this aspect, because death is waiting for us. Death is waiting for us, knocking on our door. And we have to be ready for the examination. And that can only be possible to the degree we are doing Bhagavad Dharma deeply. So anyone who is a well-wisher, Bhajante, they encourage us to stop this mental speculation, give up this material desire, and dive more deeply into the Srimad Bhagavatam to nourish our surrendering to Krishna. That is the only auspicious thing in life. There is no other auspicious thing in this world. Only surrender to Krishna is auspicious. Everything else is inauspicious. So this is my spontaneous discussion because I didn't know the purport. I did my best. Are there any questions or comments? Oh, an internet question. There's my. Okay, I'm scared of the internet questions because I can't see the face, you know.
I think it's more of a comment question. Oh, okay. It's from Mukunda. It's kind of funny, actually. He says, wait, Prabhu, are you suggesting we shouldn't go to school? He said, wait, Prabhu, are you suggesting we shouldn't go to school?
No, I'll repeat again. I am not suggesting that one should not go to school. Of course, if you don't want to go to school, we're not going to fault you there either. Yeah, Mukunda, you should quit. Oh, shh, don't tell your mother. I'm just joking. You know. To get perfect clarity about these things, you have to have guidance also, you know. And if some guidance shall give encouragement to a devotee to surrender to Krishna, then there should be no misgivings about that also. Like one of the young men came, we had a meeting with Srila Prabhupada Maharaj, and one of the young men came and he expressed his desire about joining the Brahmacharya ashram. And Maharaj said, Bhajramte. He says, this would be very good for you. Actually, then Maharaj told this particular person, he said, you will flourish in the Brahmacharya ashram. Now, I don't know how the parents would take that, and I'm pretty sure this devotee didn't tell his parents that. I'm like 100% positive he didn't tell his parents that. But Maharaj gave blessings. So if one is taking guidance of a superior and they give encouragement in that way, then there should not be any misgivings by other persons who also consider themselves well-wishers. Unfortunately, this is the dilemma for many of us in the material world. This is the dilemma. So we have to understand, according to philosophy, what is real well-wishing? Yes?
The two can be a little contradictory sometimes. And I was wondering, how is it possible that two very, very advanced souls could contradict each other?
Easily. Just like that. Srila Prabhupada makes a point in the intro of Gita, because different devotees have their different relationships with Krishna. Their different moods, the different way they want to express their love for Krishna. First Canto Bhagavatam is the most telling example between Bhima on one side, kill Ashwatthama, Yudhishthira and Draupadi on the other side, forgive him. Arjuna in the middle, bewildered. Krishna. Krishna saying, do both. Krishna. And Krishna coming in his heart and giving him the intelligence of how to do that. So this is a very natural thing. It is not, it's not at all uncommon. Even our acharyas, many times commentaries they may offer may tend to a little bit differ in certain, but There is consensus ultimately, because the central point is Krishna. That is the point. And part, we were just hearing a purport like this from Srila Prabhupada, where he was describing how, or maybe it was a letter we were reading downstairs, but Srila Prabhupada was describing how in the spiritual world there is also competition, but the central point is Krishna. So it's all harmonized because it's all for Krishna's pleasure. And it actually brings pleasure to Krishna. In fact, I've mentioned this point in Gaur Lila, in the Chaitanya and Bhagavad particularly, is describe how the devotees fighting with each other, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a description, was actually meant to nourish Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And that if one takes a side of one devotee opposed to another, those devotees will be okay, but you will be destroyed. Vrindavan Das Thakur offers this warning. So it's very hard for us to see like that. So in the neophyte stage, it may is recommended that you don't hear from a myriad of persons, because in the neophyte platform, we may not be able to reconcile so many apparent contradictions. It is apparent. It is not really a contradiction because the central point is Krishna. But it appears to us as contradiction because of our neophyte platform. Everything's got to be black and white. So if I'm doing this, this is the best thing. Nothing else can be viable. So because of that tendency, then, okay, you be an intern, sajati ashaye, like-minded associations mentioned like this, where that attraction can be nourished until you come to a more purified platform where you can see how all contradictions are reconciled on the platform of real Krishna consciousness and not just a semblance of Krishna consciousness. That's my particular understanding of that. But it is a very natural thing. It is not uncommon. And Krishna likes it. I remember one time, I think Mother Rasika Manjari was asking this some questions. It was being asked to Maharaj. I always remember Rasika Manjari asking something to Maharaj. And it was along the similar lines. And one thing Maharaj said, I don't remember the details of the question, but the answer kind of cleared out a lot of my psychology. Maharaj said, Krishna has a variety of devotees and he accepts all of them. And I was like, wow. I mean, it's like, you kind of knew that on a philosophical level, but I needed to hear it, that Krishna has a variety of devotees. Krishna's sangha is variegated. And I think Maharaj said he likes all of them or he accepts all of them. And I was like, yeah, we have to kind of, that's a hard thing to realize. Of course, devotees, not just like doing something purposely duplicitous, and but like sincerity. This is the main, being devotee means totally genuine person, rather in the conditioned state or liberated state, but totally genuine about their pursuit of Krishna. Then Krishna likes all of them, especially Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna, because people that Krishna will kick out, get out, you don't have enough purity, Mahaprabhu says, come with me, and then he'll take us back to Krishna. You know, Krishna's pastimes like that. Anyone else wants to say anything or mention anything? Okay, he has a question.
About devotees' possessiveness, like devotee, they, you know, that I want to tell one thing, that how devotees in Niskinchanam. Niskinchanam, they do not possess any material things. Like one time, I think I forgot what is that incident. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were traveling, but they had some gold coins. So one king, he could know that this American, they have gold coins. So he sent his servants to kill them. But however, you know, by understanding the mind of it, you know, that servant who was associating with them, then Rupa Goswami gave away that coins.
Sanatana Goswami.
Yeah, that incident, I don't remember. Yeah. Little I remember. Yeah. So that means it saved a life. So that means how devotee is Niskinchanam.
Yeah.
And also Prahlad Maharaj said, Niskinchanam na vrunita yav.
Yeah.
It's very...
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, you want to say something, Prabhuji?
Went to the hospital yesterday to see Bhakti Jerry, and I was wondering, you know, we was all chanting for him, and, you know, the condition he in, his head is all messed up and everything. So I'm wondering, is there any possible way that he could have heard our chanting?
Yeah, definitely. If Prahlad Maharaj can hear chanting within the womb of his mother, I think that's a little bit more intense than a busted head. And certainly, because the hearing is done by the soul, not by the body. Of course, he's in a comatose state. One may think that he cannot hear, but if the trees can be benefited by our chanting Hare Krishna around them, as Haridas Thakur was pointing out, and their consciousness is very dull, then certainly Bhakti Jari can be benefited by hearing the chanting of Hare Krishna. Even if you're not in the same location, but if you shall wish well for that soul and that body, then Krishna can understand the prayers of his devotees, and that person can be benefited. That jiva. Okay, anyone else wants to say anything? No? Thank you very much. Please forgive me online also if I said anything that might have been upsetting. I'm not meaning to do that. I'm just trying my very best to discuss Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
You want me to make them some?